These contrasting ideas about the importance or the responsibility of conservation to go hand in hand with poverty alleviation underlie the debate over the new conservation. On the one side are the nature protectionists, the old school view embraced by the likes of Muir and Emerson. The nature protectionists hold that conservation's goal is biodiversity protection, and that parks without human interference are the best way to protect biodiversity. They believe there's a race against time to save imperiled species, that we can't wait for everyone to agree before we put environmental protections in place. Indeed, many of the most significant conservation accomplishments have been championed by a few concerned citizens facing widespread and vocal opposition. Nature protectionists believe that conservation and development are inherently incompatible, which is generally true when roads are built and humans access land to live on, grow crops on, or undertake their industries, biodiversity consistently suffers. They believe that biodiversity should be conserved for its intrinsic value, and that maybe we shouldn't always have to put human interests first. But the protectionist view has been met by many valid criticisms. Parks do displace people, sometimes disregarding indigenous people's rights on their ancestral lands. Oftentimes, people can be forced to live with wild animals that may endanger their lives or destroy crops. And parks can restrict access to resources like timber, oil, and arable land, potentially creating a high opportunity cost. Often, parks have dubious economic gains for poor people. There are few examples of poor communities benefiting economically from conservation, although there are some. And perhaps worst of all, parks may not do the best job protecting biodiversity, especially if they engender social opposition or if they lack enforcement. And with climate change causing range shifts, a park set up today to protect a particular species may fail to do so in the future if that species moves.